Our text this morning is the Gospel of St. John, chapter 20. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and put it into my, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And these are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen." Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, the Gospels are not shy about bringing to our attention the weaknesses of the first men called to go out and preach the gospel to the world. Peter, who confessed in front of Christ that "you are the Christ, the Son of the living God," would later deny he even knew Jesus in those dark hours before the death of Jesus. John and James, two of the closest to Jesus, would argue with the others about who was greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Paul, called as the last of the apostles, even went so far as to be initially the enemy of the apostles until he himself was converted on the road to Damascus. And so we should not be surprised that once more, even on that first evening after the resurrection of Jesus, we have another apostle showing his all-too-human frailty. As the other disciples gather around him to tell him the great and exciting news that we have seen the Lord, Thomas has to go and be the wet blanket, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." That is Thomas on the first Easter. Now, tradition tells us that Thomas would be the apostle who would venture the farthest from Jerusalem in his work to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is said to have sailed to India in the mid-first century to start a number of churches there. And so just 20 years or so after the events of our text here in St. John, we find doubting Thomas going boldly and faithfully to preach the message of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. His "I will not believe" changed dramatically. In fact, our text tells us that just a week after saying those words of doubt, he would confess to Jesus face to face, "My Lord and my God." Jesus gave Thomas the opportunity to see his doubts thrown away by his own seeing of Jesus, physically alive with his human body. Thomas recognized Jesus. Jesus looked as he had before his death, with the notable exception that now his body is scarred, marked with the holes the nails put into his hands and feet, and the wound which had opened his side in death, from which blood and water had poured out. The wounds Thomas needed to touch and see were there in real time, and Thomas believed. As an apostle, Thomas, along with the others, would be going to hundreds and thousands of other people who would not have been able to see Jesus either before or after his death and resurrection. To them, Thomas could give the words of Jesus, the words meant for your ears too, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." The reality of Jesus' resurrection is put before you today in the words of this Gospel of John. These words have been proclaimed throughout the world, throughout the Middle East, the Mediterranean world, India, the Far East, the continents of the Western Hemisphere, all over. The millions and millions who have heard these words have, no doubt, like us, wondered about Jesus, doubted his resurrection, doubted who he is, what he means for you, for me, for our loved ones. Now, God's answer to such doubt may not satisfy some, but it has been God's answer for the past two millennia. John summarizes it at the end of this chapter when he says, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." That's why we have the Word of God. That's why the gospel accounts are here for you today. God says, "Listen to my word." It's all there. That's where you have life, because that is how you have Jesus. There are many things in this life that cause us to doubt the truth of God's word. Those who believe that the Bible is actually the divinely inspired word of God do not have many names on the who's who lists of the world. Statistically, it is probably not a large number at all. But still, some hope to find comfort in numbers. Maybe doubts can be allayed when we think we're not alone in what we believe or in whom we trust. But Jesus doesn't say, "Look at the numbers." He says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." What you are to believe is this: that Jesus is true man, born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus is true God, begotten of the Father from eternity. Jesus truly lived on this world for 30 years. Then he truly died. No breath left in his body, no beating heart. Blood and water dripping to the ground of Golgotha. 3 days later, he is alive. The tomb is empty. And the words of the angel remain for us today, that he is not here, he is risen, just as he said. These are the truths of God's word to which Jesus directs our hearts and minds. And to believe these words is to have life in his name. Notice how you are directed to a specific person, a specific name, the only name given under heaven by which we are saved. This is no generic savior, not a fill-in-the-blank deity which you can define with your own terms and desires. It's not some smorgasbord Jesus where you can pick and choose what you want on your plate of faith, like, "Well, I like that nice Jesus who helps people and talks about love all the time, but I don't really like that Jesus who's all bloody and dying there, the one who suffers and the one who actually talks about repentance and the need to believe in him and put away sin." But the truth is, this is all Jesus. His words define him for us. His actions define him for us. We take him as he presents himself to us in his word. The Son of God, the one who died for your sins, for mine, for all sin, no matter how gross or messy or shameful or mean or cruel, all sin on the cross on Jesus. He's the same one who rose from the dead the third day, the one who showed himself alive with a real human body again. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Put away the doubt. Listen to the word of life. As John says, "These are written that you may believe in Jesus and have life in his name." And that's for you. Amen. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may rise and let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that of your indescribable grace, for the sake of your Son, you have given us the Holy Gospel and have instituted the Holy Sacraments, that through these we may have comfort and forgiveness of sin. We beseech you, grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may heartily believe your word, and through the Holy Sacraments, day by day, establish our faith, until we at last obtain eternal salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.